account executive, and I've been dealing with her and very excited to find out that, yes, indeed, there will be a celebration of the Year of the Tiger. We all need to be able to have some of these wonderful traditions be able to continue. In this day and age, a lot of things are canceled, but our cultural effects and how that is so important to so many people is something I think you and the Maui Mall Village took into account
when you
decided to celebrate this Saturday the Year of the Tiger. And you're doing that with celebrating by, I believe it starts at 2 and it goes to 6 p.m.?
Yes. So we are still, you know, a little cautious with all the cases, and, you know, we are moving with some, you know, a little slower than normal. Usually in Hawaii, we would have these huge events with a lot of performances and drums and banging of chimes.
Right.
But we're not going to go that big this year just because of circumstance. So we are starting with a craft center. We're going to give Keiki an opportunity to enjoy something because, you know, we've been keeping them kind of held back from all of these events. I have kids, and
kids
I know that
kids love doing those crafts.
Yes, they absolutely need something to do. So we are having a small performance at 5. I want to keep it a little bit of a surprise, but it is taiko related. So we have a performance that is live that if you want to come see it, please be there by 5.
I love taiko.
Yes.
I love it.
I also have a little surprise on the, well, we don't necessarily have performances, but we have presentations that are happening around 2 o'clock. We've been so involved with nonprofits over this past year that we're doing a special honorary to them at 2. And you would actually get to see some of those who are benefiting from what we do at Maui Mall and how all of our different events over the past year have actually contributed to something that is very, you know, substantial for our community.
That means so much. And you know, typically if there was a lion dance, you would feed the lion. That's part of the thing. You take the little envelopes and you feed the lion. And it's good luck, you know, to feed the lion. It brings you good luck. Because there's no lion dancing. I love that you took that same concept and people can still put a donation in an envelope and help the nonprofits. And it's the same concept of feeding the lion, but it's actually wonderful to see it going back to the community. And I believe it's going to benefit Big Brothers and Big Sisters this
year.
Yes.
Yeah. So we are hosting the event with Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and we are allowing them to give away some items to anyone who volunteers, who wants to be a part of their membership, who wants to be involved. And if you donate to Big Brothers Big Sisters this Saturday at the event, then it's a free entry and kids can make some of our custom crafts that we've made. So we have like a puppet dragon. It's a cutout that they can make, and you know, something that younger children could do. We're providing all the materials. And then we also have a fortune telling craft that we also made a little more customized for Hawaii. We grew up with this, so we thought this would be really fun for them. I don't know if you remember.
I had not ever heard of that. I know I was talking to you about this, and I said, that's one tradition. Now, I know there's calligraphy sometimes that we see, and I've heard of other things, but I hadn't heard of that particular tradition.
Yes. Well, growing up here, we, you know, had so many different nationalities, and things kind of got mixed up and merged together.
Yes.
Right? And when we were kids, we had the actual lion dances going on. We would have firecrackers being, you know, blown up in the different backyards of people's houses everywhere. And there was a lot of fortune-telling kind of games or fortune-telling crafts for Chinese New Year celebrations.
So what would a fortune-telling game consist of?
When I was a child, and this is what I'm trying to recreate here, we had a kind of, almost like an origami, but with a little bit of a flair for fortune telling, where you would basically make a four piece movable. It's a foldable craft, It's hard to explain, but you'll see when
you get there. But it's made like origami out of paper.
Kind of like origami, yes. Uh-huh. It's similar, but, you know, similar in the sense of how you're folding and you're making something.
Huh.
And you're asking questions, and it's you're asking questions to this folded piece, huh. And you're playing with somebody, and they're opening up a folded piece of the craft that you've made, and it has an answer. So in this case, we've made one that's really custom to Maui, and so we have some Hawaiian language answers, we have some English answers, and we have a couple pigeon phrases in there that we thought were fun.
So the question is included in this, or you ask the question, you just happen to get?
No, it's something that we, as children, anyone that grew up here, I think maybe you know, anywhere from the 70s, 80s, and 90s would have played this.
I couldn't help but think of, you know, that black 8-ball where you shake it
kind
and
of.
You see that and you come,
yes.
The answer comes
yes.
up.
Yes, it's just that now you're making your own, and this is something you would have to have somebody help read. So if a child can't read, then they right. might need a little help with that. But it's just to play a fun little game that is still significant cultural.
I love to hear about that tradition because I hadn't heard of it. Years ago, I got the 3 coins, and you have certain coins for I Ching. Of course, that was created at the time of Confucius, and the book of I Ching is huge. I think it's like 800 pages. I still have that book somewhere. But again, Confucius, you look at it, you know, the history of China, Confucius had a very complete system for telling the future
yes.
through the lines of I Ching, you know?
Yes.
And so there is that. I mean, if I'm thinking about fortune telling in China, I mean, there were some very wise people. It goes way back to the Chinese tradition for thousands of years, actually.
Yes, which is also where the whole year of the animal came in, right?
Is it really?
Yes, so the alternating years, it's every 12 years it rotates, uh-huh. right? And it's supposed to be somewhat of a prediction of that life or that energy. So somebody who's born in the year of the tiger is usually very bold and a little bit more feisty, just like the energy of a tiger. They're more forward and bold, but they're not always as quiet or logical. They're much more like emotional people usually is what the sayings are for the tiger.
Well, I was doing a little bit of research and I saw that this indeed is the water tiger year. And I thought, well, how is that significant? It says, as well as a circle of animals, there is also a cycle of 5 elements, which include wood, fire, earth, metal, and water, which together creates a 60-year cycle. So if you put that
yes.
together with the other, and 2022 is the year of the water tiger, this hasn't happened in 60 years. And in a way, it's a completion of a cycle.
Yes.
Which is fascinating to me. I mean, that seems to have a lot of import, you know, at
Very.
That point.
So this is where I love all these, you know, different cultures that we sometimes don't acknowledge, but things like this, right, they do have the water aspect coming in this year, which I think is interesting, which is emotional and it's unpredictable. So
so that you combine emotion
yes.
mm-hmm. with a tiger, and the tiger, of course, is the king of beasts. It's a symbol of strength, exercising evils.
Ooh.
Can you imagine exercising evils while being emotional? That could be an interesting situation.
Sounds exciting.
Could be very exciting. If you're riding on a tiger, exercising evils with emotion, you could have quite a ride.
Very.
Just like I'm just, whoa, ride the tiger. That could be quite an interesting, you know, sounds like a roller coaster ride to me. It's also a sign of braveness. Tigers are brave, of course. And, of course, in China, a lot of kids wear hats, shoes, and a tiger image is also a sign of good luck, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. So,
What sign are you?
Me, personally?
Yeah.
I'm dragon.
Oh, that's good. I'm of course, the rat, and I hate admitting it because it sounds so terrible, but I know the rats are rats, and some people say it's not as bad as it sounds, but
no.
I still don't like being called a rat.
There's good and bad.
You rat, you.
Always.
But, you know, there's also colors that are related this year to the dragon, and they are cerulean blue, fiery red, mint green, imperial yellow.
Ooh.
I can't help but think of, you know, that in the old, did you ever see The Last Emperor? And they did that beautiful set, but
yes.
it's that beautiful. It's not a yellow. It's imperial yellow. It's almost a gold, right? It's very
yes.
rich yellow. And those are the lucky colors for 2022 as well. Not a lot of colors. I wear the imperial yellow, sometimes red. A mint green is interesting. I don't wear a lot of cerulean. Is it cerulean or carilion? Blue, but that's an important color. Also, the colors are derived from four elements of feng shui. Wood, primary element of the tiger. I didn't know wood was the primary element of the tiger. And water, element of the year. And so that's interesting. You mix, again, the wood and the water. You know, I've been to China twice, and some of the things that fascinated me the most was the ancient, beautiful architecture that went back thousands of years. I saw that the emperor had that beautiful one. You can walk through the emperor's palace, but the empress had an amazingly beautiful structure on a lake with a lily pond, you know, and this is the weirdest thing, anchored at the lake edge was a marble boat, a two-layered, two-deck marble. It's a boat that was made out of marble that was her own yacht.
Gorgeous.
Can you imagine how amazing that is? And so, of course, we don't give as much attention to the empresses, but the history goes way, way back, and it is interesting. And if we think of our connection, and I'm sure you have you been to that beautiful Chinese temple in Lahaina?
Lahaina, yes.
Isn't that amazing, that temple?
Yes.
I mean, again, I think everyone should visit that beautiful structure.
Yes, well, and then the incense and the prayer and
it's true.
The big, you know, gong sound and just the quietness that kind of sits in there, right? It's very peaceful.
And it's been around a long, long time.
Yes. I know. Again, I think from what? Was it 1700s that they, or 18?
It had to be 18.
Something like
it
that.
It had to be the 18 because we really didn't have much here. Somebody's saying we, the Howleys and the white people and other cultures didn't have much here until the 18. So I think it's 18 something, but then we go and tie in the Chinese community up in Kula.
Mm-hmm.
And the fascinating culture that happened that ties in with Taiwan, of course, mm-hmm. with Sun Yat-sen. Have you been to the Sun Yat-sen Park up there?
Oh, yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
The statue of the lions in the front and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Sun Yat-sen spent a lot of time up there planning going back and taking over power again. It's really part of our interesting and fascinating Maui history.
Very. I think a lot of people don't know that. They don't know that actually this was like his holding cell. He kind of came back here to get peace, to regroup, and then this is where his launching point was back in, right? And the whole family lived here. They had a house up in, I think it was right by the, wasn't it the winery? They were right next to it, wasn't that?
Close to there, and then there was that temple that was up on the top of Kula Road, mm-hmm. I think by a graveyard up actually,
yes,
way up there.
Yeah.
And that was where they would meet.
Mm.
Up there as well. And so, I mean, this is really part of our roots when we think about the Chinese history.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a part of what built Maui, and it was an unfortunate history of how the Chinese were used to build the aqueduct system, but almost slave labor. They were paid so little. I've made a point of walking the whole line along Hana Highway with the aqueduct system.
Mm.
That was done without computers, obviously,
oh, yes.
In the 1800s. It's 120, 130 years old. And it was all done using gravity. The whole flow of the way the water would come out from the farthest points in Hana into the central part of Maui was done by gravity fed, and it was all built with the Chinese labor.
Beautiful.
Beautiful and very hard because many died working on that project out there. And
yes.
It hits me very deeply because our roots and our history are a part of us, you know, and especially this isn't that old a history here on Maui, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is all kind of in the last couple hundred years when you look in the span of history.
Mm-hmm.
This is fairly recent. And one of the saddest parts that I see happening in the last 2 years is some of the prejudice against the Chinese people that has happened and some of the violence that has happened against the Chinese people because of COVID.
Mm.
It's shocking to me when I think how people are so dumb that they think, oh, there's a Chinese person, let's blame them for COVID, right? I mean, it's like, what?
Mm.
What? I mean, again, such an amazingly powerful history. And in a sad way of being brought down, at some point they were even considered, if you go back to Chinatown time in San Francisco, a lot of those people had to go into hiding because they made a law because they thought they were taking over all the work there. Mm. And they actually limited them in power and what they could have at some point, too.
Wow.
So, you know, it all goes around in circles. But the Chinese history is some of the oldest history besides maybe going back to Buddhism or Tibet, you know, the people that go back thousands of years, and Egypt, you know. But it's definitely part of all of our roots.
Mm-hmm. Well, and the celebrations have been, you know, pushed out throughout the world. And so the textiles, the taste, the flavors, a lot of that is very strongly kind of twined into Hawaii's culture as a general, as a whole. So what we think of Hawaii's culture is very much a mix.
It is.
It's a mix of everyone, all those cultures that came in around the plantation times, and they all intermingled, and they all, you know, made something very unique here.
Oh, yeah.
And so I think that's where I really miss having the lion dances, and I wish we could have them. Due to COVID, it's been really hard, so we are not necessarily having the lion dance, but we definitely are still acknowledging and celebrating, and we want to talk about
and
why.
Honoring.
Yes,
it honoring. Is a way of honoring.
Yes.
Because every bit of carrying on that tradition is something, especially with the children, which I'm so glad you're bringing in. But because the children, that's part of what you're talking about. That's part of what made you who you are, remembering those times as a child, having that celebration, right?
Yes. And it's interesting if you actually know the history behind the dance, it's a worshiping activity.
I didn't know that.
It was actually explaining the origins. It was like an origin story, and it was talking about like the beginning time. So it's a remembrance
dance.
It's a worship dance. So it was from, I want to say, the Han Dynasty. I want to say it was around there. I might be wrong, but it was
that goes way back.
It was a lunar celebration, so they follow the moon calendar.
Oh, that makes sense for Chinese New Year, because they do follow the moon.
Yes, yeah, so technically it's on February 1st this year, so we're doing it a little bit prior to.
Well, because it goes over, it's not like a one American New Year's Day. It goes actually over a period of, is it a week or 2 weeks?
I think it's 2 weeks. Yeah. Most of the moon cycle cultures are on a 2 weeks, or the celebration type thing. So a lot of the other Hawaii traditions are also on this lunar kind of cycle. Yes. So I do remember as a child how scary they looked, and you don't realize it's a person inside of the lion head, and the tail itself are just people hunched over.
Where did you see those here as a child?
They used to be everywhere. We used to have a lot of Chinese restaurants here. Like Shin Shin was right around the corner, I think, back
really?
Here in Wailuku. I used to eat there
really?
Every
here?
Friday.
In Wailuku?
There was Shin Shin. We had Dragon in Maui Mall for a long time.
I know. I love Dragon.
Yes. There was a few. There was a bunch in Lahaina. There was quite a lot of different Chinese foods and cultures to take part in, and the lion dances were everywhere. For school, we used to have them appear.
Oh,
yes. We used to sit in circles, and we would all have either fake money coins.
What school did you go to?
Oh, gosh, this was from preschool on. I mean, I remember this as a preschooler. I think it was Wailuku Union. I was at Wailuku Union. We used to go right across to the county. They used to have it at the county in the lawn.
Wow.
They had a lion dance, and they would invite the preschool. And so that was the first time I saw a lion dance, and it was...
And you remember thinking it was real. You thought the lion
was
real.
It was scary, but it was magical because you could tell that it was a person, but you couldn't see the face.
Yeah.
And it looked like it was one big person, but when you got close to them, they actually would, you know, open up the mouth, and you would see inside. You would see that it was actually about 10 people in there, not just one.
Well, you know, and as I think and I believe that these were done by serious martial artists.
Very.
These aren't just like someone putting on a costume.
No, and that's why it's been really hard to find anyone who is conducting these right now in Maui, because it's ceremonial and it needs a blessing for the actual costumes themselves. Usually are, if they are traditional and they are authentic, they usually have been blessed and they've had some sort of you know, special way of being taken care of. It's very expensive.
Oh.
So it's not like you can just
get you can't just get a lion costume.
Right.
Yeah.
A real one, a traditional one. And then the people that have been rehearsing to do this is something they take very seriously, and they rehearse and they, you know, have a system and a dynamic to them. So it takes time for them to practice and prepare. And because of COVID, right, we haven't had we don't know when we're going to have an event. We don't know when we're going to perform. So it's been really hard for people people to plan for this. Mm-hmm. So that is partly why it's been a little difficult this year to try to find that same, you know, exciting dancing group that can perform. But we're hoping that at least by next year, you know, if we get things started again this year and we can mm-hmm. move forward with something, then maybe we could keep bringing this back for years to come.
Oh, yeah. I totally agree with you that it's important. And it is sad in a way, you know, that you know, so many people will not be able to have that same magical connection as children as what you experienced as a child. Because, you know, when you have something as special as like you did there, that's a key part of your energy of like, wow, it's really Chinese New Year. This is part of it. This means something. And it ties you with that unspoken connection to the history of the past. And I think that cultural connection is very key.
Very.
And very important to everyone to honor our roots. And I think, you know, there was a time where people, it was sad. I don't know, for many generations, it was like you don't talk about your ancestry if it's not American. There was a whole time where people came from, immigrated from other countries, and they didn't teach their children their languages if they spoke other languages, and they encouraged them not to speak other languages, and they wanted them to pretend like they were just Americans. And over the time, as people, I think, partly understood their ancestry and how special some of these ancestors were. Now people, I think in the last maybe 20 years, are going, boy, I wish I had learned more from my grandparents about what they were experiencing in these other countries when they came over. I wish maybe I could have learned that language, you know, from that member of my family that had that accent, you know,
right.
Not to be embarrassed about your roots,
yes.
but to embrace your roots and respect your roots, you know?
Yes.
And I think, I mean, I know that that's important to many people now. I really love Deidre Teagarden and what they're doing at the Nisei Veterans Memorial Center. And it's been beautiful to see how now some of the generations now are really respecting what their ancestors had to go through that was never talked about after the ancestors that were put in camps, you know, and some of them were honored people were put in camps. Mm-hmm. It was such a shame to them that they didn't talk about. Now we realize how so many of the Nisei veterans served in the war and should have, and were honored, you know, fighters, you know.
Yes.
So we have to really keep a longer view, I think, in history and things like this. What you're doing at the Maui Mall Village this Saturday from 2 to 6 is really an amazing way to keep that spirit and that understanding alive, you know. Now, you go to MauiMallVillage.com. Now, do you have everything there, and do you have to sign up in advance, or can you just show up, or how does the whole process work
sure.
this Saturday?
You can come on in and walk up. You know, if you don't have children, we will be doing a really fun, exciting surprise for one of our nonprofits. I won't say what it is, but we're presenting them with something really honorary. So if you want to see that at 2 o'clock, please come on in.
Are you doing that?
I will not be the one okay. on stage, but I will be there. I'll be organizing the kids' crafts. You can check in and get a temperature check with me and, you know, hand sanitizer before you get to sit down and do a craft with me. But we have Big Brothers Big Sisters hosting and helping guide all the kids' crafts from 2 to 6 p.m. And then again, like I said, at 5, we have a special taiko performance. That'll be really fun, too. At least we'll have like some live entertainment again, right? I miss that. We miss that so much. So
absolutely.
If you want to reserve a spot for the Keke Crafts, then you can go to eventbrite.com. It's free. It's just donation request at the door or donation request when you get there. And if you can't necessarily make a reservation, it's just a first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm. Well, I know you fought hard to make this. I know you were really going, we really think this is important. We really want this to happen. And, you know, it's that kind of energy makes a difference because I kept hoping that more other places would kind of do this. And I've been searching around. I haven't seen. Not that maybe some restaurants or maybe I'm thinking maybe Saigon Cafe. Jennifer usually is good in doing that. But I have to talk to her and see if she's able to do it. It's quite a bit of work putting on these things.
Yes.
And it's interesting that we count on our Maui Mall Village and our shopping centers. We kind of count on them to do that. Isn't it interesting? Some places you wouldn't do that, but you kind of count on you to come through on these things, don't you?
Yes. We would love anyone that is excited and wants to share photos to tag us too. We definitely want to celebrate. So if anyone wants to take selfies in their Chinese New Year's outfit or take pictures of their crafts or, you know, do a little lion dance themselves, we would love to share that if they want to tag Maui Mall's Instagram.
Oh, I like that. So you just tag on Instagram?
Yes. You can put a tag on your actual post in Maui Mall Village and it'll show up on our feed and we can reshare.
I love that. Well, Naomi, it's always a treat to talk to you. I thank you so much for taking the time to come in and also for taking the time to help organize all of these different things that are going on. And it's very special, and we do like to support the Maui Mall Village, and I thank the Maui Mall Village for really helping out with the nonprofits as well. They really need it, and I know they appreciate you too with that, and it's a good give back. So thank you very much for that.
Thank you.
And I want to thank our sponsors for the show, Ron Guess and PWC.
PWC, Hawaii, cleaning.
Wake up, get ready, kids to school, drive to work, work.